Hello, and welcome to the Adventures in Arting podcast, where we analyze, explore, and celebrate the creative journey. My name is Julie Fayfan-Balzer, and I am a working artist living outside of Boston. I've been hosting this podcast with my super special co-host and my mom, Eileen Schubalzer, since 2012. Hey, Mom.
Hello, Julie.
So a couple things to announce up front. First is monthly membership. Membership offers a diverse array of classes, tutorials, vlogs, and art inspiration for artists at all levels. There are some exciting updates coming to membership, but you have to be in the club to get access to those updates. I'm basically changing my entire business model a little bit later this year, which I'm excited and nervous and all sorts of stuff about. So I'm going to release all of that to members, and I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so this is the first podcast we've done in a while where the first thing Mom has said to me, she usually says, I don't get the topic. That's the first thing she says. Today she didn't say that. So I feel like I have finally given her. So before the podcast, what I do is I upload a document that explains like an outline of the podcast, what we're going to cover and sort of my thoughts on it. And I upload it to this space that we share online, right? And so she reads the document and tells me, I don't get it. And then I know that I'm going to have to talk my way through the podcast. But she says she gets this one. So I think
I didn't say I got it, but what I will say is normally you give it to me like half an hour before we do the podcast. Whereas this one came yesterday, I saw it, which actually gave me some time to digest it.
Well, you know, I'm pedaling as fast as I can, Mom. Half an hour before is still before the deadline. Okay, so the episode 143. Is it time to change your social media diet? So you know how they say that you are what you eat, right? So I think that you are what you consume on social media. And just like a diet you eat, what you visually and mentally consume can affect your mood, your energy, your general health. And the other thing is just like a diet, it's personal, right? I could have also called this, if you hate diets and you hate diet culture, I could have also called this maybe like social media hygiene. Are you watching your social media hygiene? But it's all the same idea, whatever metaphor you crack it into, which is the fact is we are consuming social media all the time. Social media, just for definition, is blogs, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Like those are the main social media sites. There are smaller, of course, other social media sites. Now, I'm going to say the podcasts are not social media. It's a little bit dicey because like this podcast is on YouTube. So then it kind of becomes social media. But in general, social media has the word social in it because it's meant to be a discussion. It's meant to be a real discourse. And it's meant to be the ability for people to respond somewhat in real time to each other, right? It's about a back and forth. So this episode is really prompted by my own changing feelings about social media. I read a lot of stuff from people that has a lot of hate about social media, about all the negative things that it does, and how terrible it can be for people's self-esteem, how lonely it can make people feel, like all sorts of things. How I hear all the time people say that social media makes them feel bad about themselves, bad about their house, bad about their marriage, bad about their children, bad about their job, bad about their clothes, bad about whatever, right? And so I was thinking a lot about it because there are also so many benefits of social media. I mean, I have a business that I love, that pays to feed my family and pays our mortgage, a lot of it based on using social media, because that means that there aren't gatekeepers in terms of getting to my people, my community, my audience. You know, however hard I pedal, as I was saying to Mom, like however hard I pedal, you know what I mean? That's how far I go, it feels like, for me on social media. There are lots of frustrating things about it. There are lots of negative things about it, but I sort of feel like I'm taking this episode as an opportunity to say, you know, you can have a healthy diet. You can consume social media in a way that makes you feel powerful and good. You can be Popeye eating your spinach and growing up big and strong. So we're going to talk today a little bit about how to change what you're consuming, or to really at least be thoughtful about what it is that you're consuming. And a lot of I think us do this kind of consumption mindlessly. You meet somebody, you say, oh, I'll follow you on Instagram, or hey, oh, let's connect on Facebook, or let's, you know, so they get added into your feed. You see a blouse that you really like from somewhere, so you're like, oh, I like this designer, let me just add this to my feed. Maybe they have other stuff. You have, you know, a art discipline or a craft or something you were interested in. So you follow it. Maybe the local tourism board from a place that you're planning a trip to, or other things from, you know, somewhere you visited. But it's like, it becomes this random collection of sort of who you were, where you've been. It's literal baggage that you're dragging with you on sort of a daily basis. And I just am here to say, like, I don't think you need to. This is the proverbial cleaning out of your closet, getting to the very back, those scary boxes that you haven't looked in 5 years, you know? So I'll talk a little bit personally about why I decided to change my social media diet. The first reason is I found myself posting and running away. Now, that's the opposite of what social media is supposed to be, because that's not a conversation anymore. I wasn't finding any pleasure in having conversations with people. I found that a lot of things made me feel angry or depressed. I found that a lot of times people, even people commenting on my own posts, they said things that made me feel sad or upset, you know, about my work or about what I was doing. And I found that when I read other people's posts or other people's comments, I was feeling like jealous, or I was feeling if it, you know, it could be world related and I was upset about world events, or people in the comments on something that I thought was a lovely, innocuous post were so hateful and mean. It just made me feel like the world was a really crappy place. So I was posting and running away because I didn't want to deal with any of that. And obviously I need social media for my business. So I was like, I can't do this, right? Because social media was feeling like a burden, like something I had to do rather than something that was fun. And it used to be for me that I was like, oh, I love crafting the perfect, you know, Instagram caption. And I love going and seeing what everybody's making over on Facebook and da da da. And I just didn't feel that way. So again, frustrated, jealous, burnt out. I just felt like, and I also felt like I was constantly selling stuff, because everything that you read about how to do social media is always have a call to action, a CTA. You must have one. You have to promo everything 50 times, you know? And this is frankly, as you probably well know, a terrible economy. And so I just found myself being like, oh God, now I, you know, again, like I make a living. I'm the breadwinner for my family. I've got to get out there and start screaming on the corner, buy an umbrella or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? That I'm yelling. And so I was like, I have to change this. I just have to change the flow of energy that is happening. This sounds so like weird. I'm going to change the energy, but what I mean is, and I think this
wait,
is
true. I'll get my bells.
Well, exactly. Well, what I mean, and I think is true, is that there is a kind of energy that you get based on the stories that you follow. And it's like, if everything is terrible, depressing news, it just starts to push you down and you get, you know, littler and littler. And it's like, I just didn't want to feel that way. And I noticed that I had started recently following some accounts that really focus on positivity and thinking about positive things and like you can do it messages. And I just felt better when I consumed more of that content. So I also think, you know, in a world sort of flooded with information, it's crucial really to have a feed that aligns with your interests and goals and helps you make the most out of your online experience, right? There's no point in doing it if it's just another thing that doesn't feel great. So I'm going to take you through my thought process and give you some questions you can ask yourself if you're interested in curating your feed, okay? And then we'll talk about it. So first of all, this is the biggest question, which is, what's the point of social media? And that's maybe not an unanswer. That's maybe is an unanswerable question, because I think there are a lot of points of it. So maybe the question is, what is the point of social media for you? Right? So I think like mom uses social media in a different way than I do. I know my husband, Steve, uses social media in a different way. My brother uses social media in a different way, right? And this could be the same. I'm going to use the diet metaphor, which is, what is the point of food to you? one person could be training to run a marathon, and so they're loading a certain kind of food. Somebody else could be dieting to lose weight. Somebody else could be trying to bulk up in the gym. Somebody else could be, you know, have celiac disease and need to eat a certain way. So, you know, whatever it is, like, you don't know. You can't judge somebody else's social media use, and the way that somebody else tells you to use it isn't right. You have to really figure out, like, for you, what do you want it? So for me, I decided that there were three things, three major buckets that social media fell into for me. So for me, I am looking for connection and community. I do want to talk to other people. I do like to have relationships. You know, and as we discovered on an earlier podcast, my work is all about connections. I like to make connections with people, okay? The second thing is I need to build and promote my business. That's an absolute. It's one of the biggest reasons that I do social media, right? It's the one of the reasons I post regularly. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't. I would post sporadically. And then number three is I want to be inspired and educated. I want those things, right? So it's me both as a user in terms of posting, and it's me in terms of a user as in taking. And I think you get to be both on social media. You get to be a giver and a taker. And I think when it's in a really good place, that's a wonderful relationship, is that you're giving something to somebody else and you're taking something from somebody else. And it becomes like this thing, a little bit like stone soup, where it's like everybody gives a little so that we can get this really good soup. Except the problem is, to use a metaphor I've used before a couple of times, if somebody puts one drop of poop in that soup, it's over, right? Nobody's going to eat that soup. And that's the problem. You might have some drops of poop in your feed. Okay, so the next question, which is also really important, is what makes your social media feed useful for your goals? And what makes it not useful, right? So thinking about... And this is really important because I had to make a big choice for myself about the difference between what I like, what I find entertaining, but that was not one of the points of social media for me. I know that's one of the points of social media for my husband. Like, he loves to laugh. He sends me 1,000 videos where people are falling down or other things like that because he thinks they're hilarious, right? And he really enjoys it. And for him, social media is like an escape and it's a way to be entertained. It's an alternative to TV, and that's great. But that's not one of my goals. So I had to let go of a lot of like accounts and things I followed that were more of the entertainment value because I felt like they were a waste of my time and they weren't filling me up in the way that I wanted to be filled, okay? So that's sort of the example. So now, what are the tools that you have to deal with this?
Okay, what are the tools? I just want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Which is, don't you find that over time, people are sending, advertisers are sending you things, other people are sending you things, and they just sort of end up in your feed, partly because the algorithm of the apps sends you things they think you might pick up on. Mm-hmm. And so it's like getting junk mail all day long. And out of your 100 pieces of junk mail that you get, there might be 2 or 3 that at that moment capture your interest.
Yeah.
So you keep them. And then over time, you end up getting this huge pile of stuff that started as junk mail.
Yeah, I do my best on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, which are my three most active platforms. I do my best to use all their tools of like muting things, snoozing things, trying to use the non-advertising feeds and stuff like that to get more of what I want, but it's hard. And I will say, by the way, so I unfollowed more than 200 accounts on Instagram, which is a big chunk. Right? That's a lot of different people and businesses and stuff. And the most interesting thing that happened is in the week since then, all of my suggested ads and like sponsor posts and stuff have been from accounts that I used to follow. And I find that fascinating. It's like, they're like, bring me back, take me back. Or maybe that's why I started following in the first place, because it is something that I somewhat kind of like, or enough people who I also follow that, but it's just not right for me right now. So let's talk about these tools. So unfollow or mute are like your two best friends, okay? So you need to assess the different accounts that you follow at the... So Instagram was a place where I followed the most number of people. I had like 800 something accounts that I followed. On Facebook, I think I only have like 30. And on YouTube, there's like 5. I think I'm a more of an Instagram user than anything else. So you want to unfollow or mute those that no longer provide valuable content or align with your interests. And this really helps to clutter your feed and ensures that you're seeing the content that matters to you. So here are some things that I think you could unfollow. Or maybe I should say, here are some things that I unfollowed that was really useful for me. So one was past interests. I unfollowed a ton of quilting accounts, not because I don't like quilting, not because I don't appreciate quilting, not because I'm never going to quilt again, but right now, for where I am in my life, I see the quilts, and unless it's particularly great design that I can appreciate, like as an abstract painter, it's not doing anything for me actively at this time, right? There were a lot of past interests from when I went through a pottery phase. There are a lot of past interests from when I went through a beading phase. There's a lot of past interests from when I went through a hand stitching phase. And all of this has value, but there are ways to follow those things without following individual people. So like I could let go of, let's say, 25 quilters that I followed, and I could just follow hashtag modern quilting and see, you know, a couple things that come up, or follow a magazine that I trust the editor, and then I can see all the quilts that they choose for the magazine, you know what I mean, and still get some of that feed. But now I'm only following one person instead of a lot. So I don't have to like, you know, sometimes I'm interested in getting to know people's kids and stuff. I post my kid in my feed all the time, but sometimes I just want the art part of it, right? I got rid of fun but time-wasting accounts. So texts from your ex, overheard in LA, you know, things that are fun and funny, astrology accounts, like all sorts of stuff like that, where it's like, you know, celebrity gossip, TMZ, like those are fun, but like, do I really need to read 14? They post so many times a day, and it is a waste of your time. And I just felt like time is the one thing that I don't have enough of. If I go to social media, I want a blast of something that drives me towards my goals. And my goal is not to use social media as like a time waste. Some people it is, and I think that's great too. I will say I use TikTok that way as just an absolute entertainment. Period. And in fact, if I see an art project come anywhere near me, I'm like, skip. Okay. So, I also unfollowed, the last category of people I unfollowed is people who make me feel jealous or bad about myself. Now, this is not their fault. This is my fault, but there are two choices. I can either be mad at myself that I feel this way, or I can just unfollow them. And then I don't feel that way anymore. You know, I think it's the kind of thing about like, you know, should I be a better person? Yes, I should absolutely be a better person. Do I need to work on it right at this very second now in this moment scrolling through my phone? Probably not. Probably not. I can probably live without doing that right this second, right? So, and I think that this is very easy. And there may be some people who, you know, I don't know what it is. It's the way that they say things in their caption. It's the way that they talk about, you know, awards they're winning or other stuff. It's the way that they do things. It just doesn't feel good to me. And I think this is, again, one of those things that it's totally personal. It's completely personal how you feel about it. Okay. So, again, the thing about muting, this is what you do with those personal obligation people. We all have people in our lives who we know in real life, who we need to follow in order to be happy in our real lives. But I don't actually want to see everything that they post for many different reasons. They could be.
I know you're not talking about your mother.
You don't ever post. So there you go. But you know, it could be they have political beliefs that make you crazy. It could be that they post too much stuff. It could be that they, you know, post about things you're not interested in, and it's just taking up space that you don't need. So all you have to do is mute them. Then you're still following them. So everybody feels good about it. They don't know that you muted them, right? And then you don't have to see their post. And if you want to unmute them later, you can, but it's like a soft way. It's kind of like when you declutter your closet and you have a box that's like
sentimental,
maybe, or send to, you know what I mean? Send charity or whatever. It's like you can't throw it away. You know, you probably shouldn't keep it, but you just don't know what to do with it. Exactly. So it's that box that's muting. Okay. So that's sort of the cleaning part of it. But this is also like if you had a room and you were decluttering it, you would take everything out. But then the question is, what do you put back in? Right? So this is about choosing who you follow with care. And this is, you know, I read once, and I will confess it was in a 17 magazine, but I was clearly influenced by it. Long ago. Because I've remembered it since then, which is they were talking about the fact that anorexia didn't exist in China the way that it does now before people were talking about anorexia and people found out about it. Now, do I think that eating disorders were completely created by like exposure to the West? I don't. Obviously, people have had different issues with eating all the time, but I do think that it is true. It's the Star Trek effect. People see something or hear something and they understand it now as a possibility. The Star Trek effect is like iPads literally and Kindles and stuff look exactly like those fake things they had on Star Trek. People saw them and wanted them, right? When you see something, it becomes like a little bit more of something that's possible to be real. So all of that is just to say that what you digest in your social media, what you digest with you, what you read, what you hear, what you watch, it becomes a part of who you are. So if you watch, like, for instance, I don't like it when my son watches Peppa Pig. Peppa is rude to her parents and she's very snarky. And frankly, I think it shows after he's watched it, because I think he becomes a little bit like that, you know? And so I think that, and I've heard that too from other parents, I think that it is when we talk about people who were radicalized through YouTube and you think, how can you be radicalized through YouTube? It's the same way you can be radicalized by anything with this, because you consume so much of it. It feels like everybody's talking about it. You start to agree with it. It starts to feel like it's, you know, it's just a normal idea. And then it's there, then you're there with it. So I think you do have to follow people or organizations or businesses or whatever carefully. And this is really about, be intentional about following accounts that share content related to your interests, your hobbies, or your professional field. Well, again, towards your goals, right? You're seeking out reputable sources that provide accurate and reliable information, creating a feed that adds value to your daily life. Like, can you say that your social media activity adds value to your daily life? It should. Because when I see how much screen time I've had on my phone in a day, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm spending that much time on my screen, I better be getting value out of it, right? It's kind of like, do you want to be the person who has the most friends, or do you want to be the person who has a lot of friends that you really like, or a couple close friends that you really like? And some people would rather have the most friends, and some people would rather have, you know, a couple stronger relationships. I think I fall into the latter category. And again, everybody's diet gets to be different. Everybody's diet gets to be different. So if what I'm saying doesn't work for you, that's awesome. You should go and do whatever version of it works for you. But I do think everybody should look at their social media and really think about if it's making their day better. It's kind of like you should have nothing in your house that isn't beautiful or useful. Well, you should have nothing in your social media feed, you know, that either isn't useful or makes you feel good. That's my feeling about it. And then I think, you know, you can also, again, this is taking advantage of all the things that social media gives you. You can adjust your notification settings, meaning you can turn on notifications for like the few people that you're actually really interested in getting a ding or a ping from. You can be selective to avoid, you know, notification overload from less important people. You can have an A list and a B list and even a D list. And also something to think about is like, maybe there's someone you like, and instead of subscribing to their newsletter, or maybe they do a lot of like selling, you know, you might want to get their notifications on social where they much more tend to just like show their artwork or something like that. And you can do that, you know, and just clean out your inbox at the same time, which is kind of nice. And then also there's lots of content discovery tools. That's the fancy, most of the fancy official social media speak. And content discovery tools are essentially hashtags, explore pages, those kinds of things. And those are great for finding content related to your interests without actually having to be people you follow. So if you're like, you know what, I've curated my feed. It's a beautiful, neat feed. What I want to do now is I want to just see what else is out there and explore. You can use any of those options and either find some new people to feed or a little bit of fresh inspiration. And then, but you don't have to put those people in your feed. You don't have to actually follow them if you don't want to. But it does give you a chance to diversify your feed with fresh and interesting content. I also, I think I mentioned this before, I like to follow some curated accounts that show a wide variety of artists' work. So like galleries are good at doing this. Museums are good at doing this. There are lots of platforms that share. Like there's one I follow called The Curated Eye that I like that shows a lot of Canadian artists. There are some, there's a store in Australia that if I ever go back to Australia, I want to go to. But they show a ton of artists, plus lots of sort of interesting home goods, which I always think is really fun. They're called Jumbled. So there are a lot of ways to sort of get bang for your buck. So that way I follow one person and I get a ton of artists as opposed to following, you know, 11 individual artists. And then just remember this, this is the power of one person. So you've probably heard people talking about the algorithm. The algorithm hates me. The algorithm hates me and all this kind of stuff. And you have the power, you as a single person, to make social media better or worse for the people that you like. And worse, I guess, for the people you hate. But if you engage with content that adds value to your life, and engaging with it means you comment on it, you save it, you know, something like that, that the that content gets bumped up for those people. So if you've ever wanted a non-financial way to support an artist who you like, leaving a comment or saving their post, saving their YouTube video, you know, commenting on their YouTube video, like all engaging on their Facebook page, like that is the kind of stuff that helps them, you know, reach more people. So that's a great way to do it. And then finally, just to continue the diet metaphor, because I like a metaphor. My mother taught me when I was young that people understand metaphors much more easily. And that if you can find a metaphor to explain something to people, they will almost always understand it better than you would if you just tried to explain the issue. So here we are with the diet metaphor. So you can't just eat what someone else eats. You're built differently. You have different goals and needs. So the most important thing is to figure out what you want out of the experience, right? Social media is a buffet. If you ate at a buffet every single day, oh my gosh, that's so many rhymes. Anyway, if you ate at a buffet every single day, think about that. Just the incredible volume of food that's coming at you constantly. And like maybe the first time you go to the buffet, yeah, you're heaping it up and you're trying everything and, you know, whatever it is. But at a certain point, you have to get selective and really think about what you want from the buffet, what interests you from the buffet. So get rid of what's not serving you and really go towards what it is you want. You get to build your own like education feed, essentially. You get to build your own indoctrination feed. Like however you want to think about it, you are building the person that you want to be based on what you follow. I think like if you follow 100 fitness accounts and diet accounts, then I bet you think about fitness and diet and stuff like that all the time. You know, if you whatever it is that you follow, you are what you eat, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So, mom, now that I've given my soapbox speech about our social media diet or hygiene, what are your thoughts on the matter?
I use social media very differently than you.
Yeah.
In the first place, on Instagram, I follow like 25 or 24 people. And while you've been talking, I've been already thinking of who to unfollow. And I don't let anybody follow me. One of the issues is I use texting to communicate with the three or four people that I care about, which is my family, basically. Mm-hmm. I also use social media as a way to spy on my children, see what they're up to, what they're doing, what interests them. But again, texting is helpful. I also feel like you don't have to. So I'm old school, so I sort of used to think, oh, once you put it in the internet, it's forever. And if you make decisions about getting rid of people or, you know, sculpting your feed to fit your current interests, it'll have to be like that forever. And I think it's the same attitude, not to be lugubrious, but it's the same attitude that people have about writing a will. They don't understand. You can change it all the time. Every single day, you can change it. It's not a forever document. And so the same thing with your social media feed. Today, I may be interested in stories about 4-year-olds or 8,000 ways to use a block of feta. And tomorrow, I might not. But it doesn't mean I can't go back to it.
Right.
So I feel like... I would like to do a little of this just because I do waste time. But I also, here's the thing. I, for example, physically subscribe and get the physical newspaper, the Globe and the New York Times every day. And I subscribe to the Washington Post online. And what I found is, because it's so easy and accessible, I read them online mostly. And the physical paper comes to the house, and it's annoying because then I have to recycle them. So I've actually been considering getting rid of my
physical subscription. Physical the end of an era.
But I'm still reading the news, and in fact, more of it because now you know I have these three feeds plus all the magazines and things that I used to subscribe to. Most of them now I read them online. So I think I'm just slow to accept this change because it used to mean so much to me to get up and read the paper every single day or the papers.
But now you've read the paper by the time you get out of bed in the morning because you've read it.
Well, not only that, I read more of them, right? Because I can pick and choose now. I used to feel like I had to read the paper from cover to cover every single day, you know, at least look at every single page, which is obviously ridiculous. And one of the things is it's giving up an idea of myself.
Mm-hmm.
It actually, the idea of myself is that I have all these papers, right? And I have all these magazine subscriptions. But in point of fact, I don't have to actually have the physical thing in my house. Will right. I lose a little bit? Yeah, because you can't get absolutely everything.
No, and it's different because you don't accidentally stumble into something and like photos are different when you see them online versus whatever. But I mean, and I would say like a big part of my childhood when I think about it is seeing you sitting in the kitchen reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
You know, the physical newspaper. And I think about it now with my son all the time, where I will say to him, like, do you know what I'm doing on my phone right now? And I'll say to him, like, I'm reading a book or I'm, you know, checking the weather or I'm doing whatever. Because it's so hard because I think all he sees is like phone.
Right. You know what I mean? And there's actually something off-putting to the other person when you're reading your phone in front of them or in the middle of when you're having a conversation because your attention is riveted in a different way than if you were reading the paper with them.
Right.
And also we used to like do the Sunday crossword from the New York Times together. You know, it was like a fun thing to do. But first place, you have a kid, so you don't have the time. And in the second place,
I do the crossword on my phone because it is easier because, like, I can erase much more easily. I can, like, go backwards much more. You know what I mean? Like,
you need to erase?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a ballpoint pen New York Times crossword president, except maybe on a Monday. And even then, there'd be crossouts.
So I just think it's about... maybe changing the identity, the self-identity that you've cherished for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's bad, but if you've actually thought about it, maybe that isn't you anymore anyway.
I unfollowed a bunch of sort of New York specific accounts because even, I mean, although I lived in New York for like, what did I live there? 16, 17 years. I don't anymore. And I haven't for quite some time. And it's taken me a long time to be like, oh, I don't live in New York City. That's not a part of my daily life. I probably don't need to have like daily life in New York City, you know, give me some kind of FOMO or something. So, you know, I kept a lot of the sort of Boston related accounts, or it's like, I'm not in the baby sleep phase, despite the fact that I had to sleep in his room last night, but I'm not in the infant sleep phase. So I was able to get rid of like infant sleep accounts and stuff like that. But it is, I think, again, this is about social media. What you consume defines who you are, and you get to decide who that is. And sometimes it's aspirational, and that's fine, and that's great. And I think it can be helpful in that ways. And sometimes it's practical, and it's about like where you are right now in your life.
Right. And so piggybacking on that, like I used to read a ton of New York restaurant reviews, and mm-hmm. I have recently stopped because I'm not in New York. And I'm not
Going because you used to come to New York all the time, because both Matthew and I, my brother, lived there. Yeah. And so it made sense for you to come all the time.
So I think this process is partly a process of redefining yourself, which mm-hmm. is part of why it's so hard. Just like cleaning out your closet. Oh, yeah. You mean I'm not an overalls girl anymore?
Yeah, that's the same thing. Like, are you going to be that size again? Are you keeping it? And is it making you feel guilty? You know, is there that girl from high school who you reconnected with who do you really need to follow her? Or can you just mute her at the very least? And then, you know, like the box that you haven't opened for 4 years, it just eventually disappears.
Well, there you are.
Okay, so I hope that you'll do a little bit of spring cleaning on your social media feed. And just like Mom said, to remember that it is a living thing. You can change it around at any time, at any moment, to something different. I mean, there are all these things, like you could unfollow absolutely every account that you follow and then slowly add people and see how you feel about it. There are a lot of different ways to approach it. Okay, so I want to remind you, of course, about monthly membership at ballsdesigns.com. This summer, I'm teaching art alchemy, exploring golden brand paints and mediums at my home studio outside of Boston. That's June 23rd through 25th. It's a personalized art learning experience with a very small class size, individualized attention. All supplies are included, and you get breakfast, lunch, and lots of snacks here at the house. Steve and Mom contribute to the cooking. My 4-year-old will entertain you in the morning, perhaps more than you want to be entertained immediately in the morning, but he will want to talk to you and ask you a lot of questions about your life. So I hope you'll check that out. It's going to be lots of fun. And now if you want to connect, you can find me at juliebalzer.com or all over social media. Dun, 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 social media as at Balzer Designs. I hope you will notice, a friend of mine texted me to say, oh, I noticed you've been changing up what you've been posting on social. And I said, yes, I'm trying to make what I post on social align with where I actually am in my art journey. Like, so for instance, somebody said to me the other day on social, they were like, oh, it's so great to see you working at this size. And it was like a 16 by 20 canvas. And I was like, I've been working at this size for years, but I guess I either haven't posted it or it hasn't come across or who knows. But it was just interesting because I was like, I don't think sometimes that my social media matches who I am. But that's probably a podcast we could do a whole other time about, like, does your public persona match what's actually going on? I hope you'll sign up for the free weekly newsletter. That's the Friday newsletter. It's the best way to make sure you keep up with the latest news. There's a big button on the homepage of juliebalzer.com or on the show page for this podcast. You can find the link. In case you don't know, I always post on the show page links, anything we've talked about, you know, if there are important images or things like that, those all go there. And the show page is at balzerzines.com/arting. Like the Adventures in Arting podcast. So if you'd like to help the show, you can leave a review, mention us on social media. Thank you so much to all the people who have done that. And tell a friend, because all of those things help other people find the show. So thanks so much for listening and subscribing. We'll see you the next time on the Adventures in Arting podcast.